virus or bacterium causing the disease. Antibodies have to be selective to avoid destroying the wrong cells, so each type of antibody recognizes and attacks only a specific virus or bacterium. And that means that each new disease requires a new type of antibody. But in fighting disease, evolution sometimes works against us, because the faster an organism multiplies, the faster it adapts to changes in its environment. For bacteria, the appearance of a new antibody means a big change in its environment, but unfortunately, it's a change the bacteria often adapt to. Since a single bacterium can multiply 1,000-fold in 3 hours, there's a good chance that some of those offspring will vary from the rest in ways that make them unrecognizable to the antibody. Those bacteria will then produce millions more like themselves. Some viruses, including HIV, which is responsible for AIDS, evolve even faster than bacteria. Unlike bacteria, as well as plants and animals, which carry their genetic information in the form of DNA, these viruses carry their genetic information in a similar molecule called RNA. When RNA is copied to make a new virus, the process is less accurate, and far more mutations occur than when DNA is copied. That means more variety among the offspring, and more chances that a few of them will escape the antibodies. In fact, viruses evolve so quickly that the same virus in two individuals often evolves into two different strains. All living organisms adapt to changes in their environment, but RNA viruses, like HIV, adapt much faster because they produce more offspring with more variation. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports this afternoon, the NCAA South and Midwest Regionals take center stage tonight in the men's basketball tournament. The first game is in Houston. St. Mary's of California goes against Baylor. Duke will face Purdue in Game 2. And there are two other games involving Big Ten teams tonight. The St. Louis game, the first one, Ohio State plays Tennessee. In the second contest, Northern Iowa will play against Michigan State. The Pittsburgh Steelers have worked out another contract with quarterback Charlie Batch. He signed a 2-year contract to remain as a backup to Ben Roethlisberger. Batch has been with the Steelers for 8 seasons. Before I move ahead out of basketball, though, it'll be the Illini versus the Redbirds in women's NIT quarterfinal action on Sunday. Both of those teams won in their third-round play Thursday night at the women's NIT. Illinois defeated Missouri State 65-53, and Illinois State beat Kansas 71-51. The Sunday game will be at Redbird Arena Sunday afternoon. The two teams last met in a non-conference game last November. The Illini defeated the Redbirds 62-51. Houston Astros pitcher Roy Oswalt has a strained hamstring. He left today's start against Pittsburgh after 4 innings because of pain. He first experienced a discomfort last Sunday. The St. Louis Cardinals have lost to Washington this afternoon in spring training, 7-4. Later on this afternoon, the White Sox are hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Cubs are hosting Oakland. An American tennis player, Wayne Odesnik, the 98th-ranked player in the world, has pleaded guilty to importing human growth hormone into Australia earlier this year. He was fined more than $7,000 and could be banned from tennis for 2 years. That's sports.
I'm University of Illinois Extension.
Department of Kinesiology and Community Health.
I'm United Way.
Christie Clinic.
Department of Communication, University of Illinois.
Family Resiliency Center.
I'm Unit 4.
The Urbana Free Library.
And I'm Molly Delaney of Illinois Public Media, and together we're CU Fit Families. Join us and many other organizations in fighting childhood obesity. Call 217-333-7300 or email delaney1@illinois.edu.
It's 2:44, and in updating the story we've been talking about all day, Governor Pat Quinn has officially said he wants Sheila Simon, the daughter of former Senator Paul Simon, as his running mate. The Democratic Central Committee in the state will make the official decision on Saturday whether Simon will be the lieutenant governor candidate. They are choosing from among 17 different candidates, but Governor Pat Quinn has made his intentions or his wishes known this afternoon. This week, the General Assembly quickly rushed through pension changes that policymakers have spent years deliberating. Governor Quinn says he'll soon make it final and sign the package into law. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky looks at some of the potential ramifications in this report.
Governor Pat Quinn says the ensuing changes to Illinois' pension system are epic, historic, tantamount to a political earthquake.
This is the mother of all cutting spending.
proposals. This is a big one. There's nothing bigger to save money for taxpayers.
Quinn had actually called for a pension stabilization plan last year as well, but union backlash brought it to an abrupt end. Although unions are outraged now, they weren't able to beat back the bipartisan push this time. Illinois has gained notoriety as the worst-funded pension system in the nation, with potentially $90 billion in pension debt. This overhaul seeks to cut the state slack as it pays into pension funds in the future. The package doesn't affect current state employees or retirees whose retirement benefits are constitutionally guaranteed. Rather, it sets up a new pension program for government workers hired next year. That includes teachers, but not police and firefighters. Those new hires will have to work longer until they're 67 to draw their full retirement benefits. The annual increases in their pension payouts are capped, and the highest paid public employees won't get a pension on their full salary. A pension can only be collected on a maximum $106,000 paycheck. Now that it's through, Quinn says it's one of his biggest successes.
I want to point out that a lot of governors have tried this and have not been successful.
The pension action may help rescue Quinn's other big success as governor, the passage of a major statewide infrastructure program. To finance the construction projects, Illinois has to borrow. The state's finances are so dire that credit ratings agencies have already downgraded Illinois bonds. The agencies have warned Illinois will slip further unless it stabilizes its pensions. Quinn's budget director, David Vaught, says before Illinois sells more bonds in early April, the state needs to show the ratings agencies it's serious.
The questions that they put to us are very hard-nosed, and they're very much based on the numbers. And so they want to see a final result.
The pension changes will affect the rest of Quinn's budgeting as well. The governor wants to raise income taxes by a third to spare cuts in education. Quinn says the pension actions should satisfy critics who've insisted on cuts and tighter spending controls before they'll approve higher taxes. But it could also hurt his tax effort. The two-tiered pension system is projected to save Illinois $100 billion in the next few decades. Legislators know that Quinn could tap into some of those future savings now. Using savings that have yet to be realized is the type of tricky accounting that rung up Illinois' unfunded pension liability in the first place. Quinn says he won't do it. He says he'll only factor in $300 million of pension savings next year. But it's a tempting option for a governor who's seeking election, and especially for a Democratic governor who's now feeling the wrath of a prime constituency, labor unions. Henry Bayer is the leader of the state's largest public employees union, AFSCME. Bayer says cutting future benefits will do nothing to erase the pension debt Illinois has already amassed. And given that past general assemblies and governors are to blame, he says it's unfair to punish state workers.
None of our members who've retired are living on Easy Street. There are a lot of people who are able to live out their retirement with some degree of comfort, but no one's getting rich.
Adding insult to injury, negotiations between labor and legislators had been ongoing for months until suddenly the pension package surfaced, went through the House and Senate in one day, leaving many off guard. Steve Preckwinkle is political director for the Illinois Federation of Teachers.
From our point of view, it did not have to be this way.
The changes it took legislators mere hours to ram through were in reaction to a problem they had spent decades creating. Preckwinkle says the fallout could also last a long time in places like schools.
Because instead of retiring out teachers at the high end of the salary schedule, they're going to be keeping those teachers on the payroll, not replacing them with new, lower paid, fresh teachers coming out of our colleges and universities. This will be the largest single unfunded mandate for school districts in the history of our state.
Preckwinkle says a teacher fresh out of college would need to stay in the classroom about 45 years to qualify for retirement. He says reduced benefits will make it harder for schools and government to attract top talent. But supporters of the changes say in today's business climate, most jobs offer little in the way of retirement guarantees. They say any pension is better than none. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Just 4 years after it was founded, a music website based in the Quad Cities reached a major milestone. Daytrotter estimates that sometime in February, somebody made the 10 millionth download from the hundreds of performers it's recorded. Illinois Public Radio's Herb Trix reports.
Hi, this is Chris Christopherson. Welcome to Daytrotter.
Hey, this is Death Cab for Cutie. Welcome to Daytrotter.
Young and old, mainstream and alternative, Daytrotter has recorded them all. And it started with a young sports writer for the Quad City Times newspaper, Sean Moeller.
I grew up on a farm right alongside Interstate 80 there out on Utica Ridge. And, you know, growing up having that interstate go by, I mean, once I really started getting into music and thinking about it more, I mean, you start realizing how many of, you know, those bands that you're listening to are driving right on that piece of pavement. And, you know, I guess the thought just comes into your head, you know, at least when I got to, you know, this point 4 years ago of can we make them stop in here?
So he and some friends came up with the idea for Day Trotter. Musicians come to the Quad Cities, record 4 songs in the Day Trotter studios, which are then uploaded to the website where they're available for free. One example is Quieting Syrup.
It was a little bit about bringing those bands to town, but it was more about kind of these bands that I felt really passionate about that I thought were so much better than the things that everybody listens to, you know, without being snobbish about it, where it's just like, you know, this is just so worthwhile as far as music goes that, you know, is there anything I can do to maybe get these out in front of more people? And I mean, the idea of going to the internet and basically just saying, here's some music, you know, check it out.
The first bands he helped record in February of 2006 were Catfish Haven and Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin. And it wasn't long before Mueller began to think Day Trotter would succeed.
Pretty early on, we had a couple really, really kind of big deal sort of acts. I mean, we had Will Oldham, who's you know, a huge name, and a band called Of Montreal. I mean, those were kind of two of the first bands that really, I guess, got our name into a lot of people's heads. And, you know, then shortly after that happened, you know, somebody from Wired magazine called. They sent a photographer and a writer out. And, you know, once we were in Wired magazine, you know, then Rolling Stone and Entertainment Weekly and other really nice magazines started writing about us.
Also, in year number 2, Day Trotter began to carry advertising. So today, it's a going concern that provides full-time work and benefits for Mueller and 3 others. Traffic to the site is now about 200,000 unique visitors per month and 2 to 2.5 million page views from all over the world.
You know, we have a really big following in Germany. Like, the German press has been great to us, and it's been fun just to watch it sort of spread a little bit. I mean, obviously the big cultural centers in the United States, I mean, it's just big masses in Chicago and L.A. and New York and San Francisco and places like that. But, you know, it's really spread out everywhere. I mean, there's not many corners of the world, oddly enough, that kind of don't know what it is now. It's kind of surreal.
One recent visitor to the Day Trotter Studios was Gibbers, a young band from Lafayette, Louisiana. Singer and guitarist Taylor Garisco says after an East Coast tour, the band drove 18 hours to make their recording date with Day Trotter.
It goes, it washes away. It goes, and what will you say? Don't get stuck in the meantime, no such thing as the meantime. Don't get stuck in the meantime, no such thing as the meantime.
The Day Trotter series gets music out to hundreds of thousands of people. It's just amazing platform to have, you know, independent bands come here, play their music, and within a few days, you know, it's released on the internet and lots of people listen to it.
And the 4 songs they recorded for Day Trotter will appear on their new album to be released next summer. Mueller says Day Trotter can help a new group like Givers and an established singer like Kris Kristofferson by introducing both to people who wouldn't hear them otherwise. And for the future, he predicts very few changes.
I think we're all really, really excited and happy with what we're doing right now. I mean, you know, I could see us really expanding into bringing more shows to town. I mean, that's really just, you know, that's the one area that I hope really does sort of pick up is more people in the Quad Cities and kind of the surrounding areas really taking advantage of some of these, you know, amazing people that we bring to town. I mean, we don't put on a show that we're not proud of.
I'm Herb Trix.
Well, one big problem for those who have an electric car and live in an apartment is where to plug the car in. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren talked with an entrepreneur in Maryland who's building systems where city-dwelling electric car drivers can plug in.
California already has a bunch of public and private electric vehicle charging stations. Many of them are free. But if you live anywhere else, your options are very limited. With the Chevy Volt and Nissan Leaf due to hit the streets at the end of the year, a handful of small companies are trying to change that. Mahi Reddy's company, SemaConnect, already is starting to sell hookups. He wants to sell them to hotels, apartment complexes, office buildings, and other businesses for electric car drivers to use.
This could be installed on the street, which means as you park on the street, you can plug into this.
But to do so, you'd have to have something that looks like a credit card.
So we would give you a little smart card, and every time you wave it in front of one of these devices, it recognizes that. And that would be linked to your credit card account. And kind of like Easy Pass, it would charge your credit card.
The technology does this by metering how much electricity you use and then connecting wirelessly to the web. Reddy's devices cost about $2,500 to install. Some higher voltage quick charging stations can cost 10 times that much. But Reddy says companies will be able to make up the investment by charging for the power. It's not clear yet what the going rate will be to charge up. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News.
WILL programs are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal Street in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com.
Earth and Sky.
Physicist Riley Crane works at MIT's Human Dynamics Lab. Dr. Crane measures how information moves on sites like Facebook, for example, and he asks,
how does society respond to some stimulus, which could be anything ranging from an earthquake or a tsunami, to a call to find 10 red balloons?
Dr. Crane is talking about a contest sponsored by the Pentagon, which challenged teams to be the first to find 10 red balloons randomly hidden all across the U.S. Crane's MIT team was the first to find all 10 in under 9 hours, with public help in the search.
We basically made a website that allowed anybody to simply sign up by putting in their email and a username, so we could track at each point how the information was getting from person to person.
Crane's now analyzing this data to discover what rules might govern the spread of information online. His aim, he said, is to explore the opportunities that come with living in such a connected world. He says this field is so new, scientists aren't exactly sure what they're going to find or how to use it. But he added, by mastering these rules, we'll get more effective at using digital tools to communicate information about a crisis like an earthquake. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. You can hear us online at will.illinois.edu and pull down some podcasts or other files of our shows that you hear during the day, Focus and Afternoon Magazine, and our newscast as well. Right now, it's 44 degrees in Champaign-Urbana, and our meteorologist, Ed Kieser, is calling for sunshine for the rest of the afternoon and a clear to partly cloudy sky tonight. It'll be chilly, though. Again, we'll get below freezing with a low of around 27 degrees. Our winds tonight will be from the east to southeast at 6 to 12 miles an hour in Champaign-Urbana. Warming up a little bit more tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, and the high 56, so a good start to the weekend. Winds from the southeast picking up to 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, though, cloudy and some showers moving in mid to late evening and then rain after midnight.